While my brother was in South Korea, he was introduced to a girl at the church that he was attending. And, you know, it went well, so they got married. They got married in Korea, and that was back in 2001. At the time, we were living in a northern suburb of New York City, and to help prepare my brother's wedding, my younger brother, he got married before I did. That's okay. So to help prepare for the wedding, my mom went from New York to Korea. And about a week later, you know, my dad and me and my sister, we left to attend the wedding. And on our way to JFK Airport, we noticed an unusual traffic jam and a smoke rising, a black smoke rising from Manhattan. So we turned on the radio, and we were surprised to hear that all the bridges and all the airports in New York City were closed. So we had no choice but to go back home and reschedule our flight. And when we got back home, we turned on the local news, and we just couldn't believe what we saw on TV. You know, two planes crashed into the Twin Towers, and that was September 11th, 2001. And all the airports remained closed for the next several days, so we could not attend our brother's wedding. Only my mother attended. Not long after September 11th, President George W. Bush, he said, "The mission of our nation is clear. We must rid the world of evil." The September 11th terrorist attack was clearly evil, and it was just one example of many evils in our world. There is so much evil that people question God. Why doesn't God do something? If God is good and loving, how come God does not rid the world of evil? And every generation struggles with that question. And the people in the first century, the people in the time of Jesus, struggled with that also. The parable of the weeds is unique to Matthew. It doesn't appear in other gospels. And by including this parable, Matthew is dealing with the question of evil. If God's rule is here in the person of Jesus, how come evil is not eliminated? How can God's kingdom advance if evil persists? Jesus provides a partial answer in the parable of the weeds. Let us read the text for today, Matthew 13, 24 to 34, and then 36 to 43. Jesus told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, 'Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?' 'An enemy did this,' he replied. The servants asked him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' 'No,' he answered, 'because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At the time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" We'll jump to verse 36. "Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He answered, 'The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let him hear. Any household that maintains a lawn has to deal with weeds. In our lawns, the weeds are quite easy to identify. They stand out among the grass or among the flowers. But the weeds in today's parable are different. A more accurate translation of the weed is darnel. The King James Version uses the word tares. The scientific name for darnel is Lolium temulentum. Most darnels are infected by a certain fungus and are poisonous. Darnel grows where wheat grows, and because the similarity between them is so great, in some regions it is called the false wheat. Then how can you distinguish between a wheat and a darnel? You cannot. You cannot really tell them apart. You just have to wait until their ears begin to appear. The ears of darnel are different from the ears of wheat. And at the harvest time, the difference will be even more stark. The ripe wheat is brown, but the ripe darnel is black. You will know them by their fruit, Jesus said. Wheat will bear grain that is good for people, while darnel will bear grain that is poisonous. So if a farmer sold by accident wheat mixed with darnel, it will ruin his business. So if you wanted to sabotage a farmer's work, then you would do exactly what the devil did in the parable. You would go into your enemy's field at night and scatter some darnel seeds. And that's how you take revenge on your enemy. In the first century, such sabotages had been committed. In fact, there was a Roman law that prohibited people from sowing darnel seeds in another person's field. It was a serious offense. And it's too bad that they did not have CCTVs back then. So the parable of Jesus was based on a real life situation of the first century. Now, what is the message of the parable? The message can be summarized as this: all evil will be punished and eliminated on the day of judgment. So we are to be patient and wait for God's judgment. And while we wait, we are not to eliminate the darnel ourselves by force, but we are to leave that up to God. Rather, we are to concentrate on producing the crop. And let me unpack it a bit. This parable clearly teaches the judgment of the wicked and the righteous on the last day. Though Jesus came to demonstrate God's love, Jesus talked about hell more than any other New Testament writers. And the judge on the final day is the Son of Man. It is none other than Jesus himself. The world is his field, and he will send out his angels, and every evildoer will be plucked out of his kingdom. There will be no mistakes. It will be 100% precise judgment. And every evildoer will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But the righteous will shine like the sun in God's kingdom. So Jesus says, leave the sorting and elimination of darnels to me. Every evildoer will be punished. But you, the wheat, must wait until the harvest. And waiting is what we find difficult. As you know, It is very difficult to wait for something. And it is difficult for the farmer as well, watching in frustration as the darnel grows with the wheat. And God does not enjoy seeing darnel growing in the midst of wheat. But for the sake of wheat, God waits for the day of judgment. And since God is waiting, we must wait also. The disciples of Jesus did not want to wait. If the kingdom was here in the person of Jesus, they wanted everything all at once. Now, they were not interested in God's timetable. They had their own timetable, and they wanted God to conform to their timetable. In the parable, the servant's question reveals the disciples' desire and our desire as well. Do you want us to pull them out? They want to go out and pull out the weeds by force. And that's what we want to see. We want to see evil judged, punished, and eliminated immediately, right now. But the farmer restrains them because life is not that simple. In their zeal to rid the field of darnel, they will likely pull up some wheat as well. In the time of Jesus, there were some revolutionary groups who were eager to step into God's field and eliminate the darnels. The Zealots, for example, wanted to fight against the pagan Romans on the one hand and against the compromised Jews on the other, and they were willing, more than willing, to use violence. But Jesus is saying that God's kingdom will not come through such use of violence. The servants' timing is not right, and they will not be perfect in distinguishing the weed from the darnel. In regard to pulling out the darnel, a wise church father, Chrysostom in the 4th century, wrote, "Jesus does not forbid our checking heretics, but he forbids our killing and slaying them." But this wise counsel went unheeded in church history. History has shown how people's efforts to pluck out darnel have only backfired. Aaron mentioned crusades. The crusades against heretics and infidels have forever damaged Christians' relationship with the Muslims who have coexisted peacefully for centuries. The Spanish Inquisition was an effort to remove the weeds from the Christendom, but it has tortured many innocent people and pushed many people away from the church. The witch hunts in Europe and in America killed mostly innocent people. When people try to pull up the darnel, they pulled up many innocent people along. Augustine and Luther both endorsed the state using force against the heretics, and even John Calvin, the revered John Calvin, endorsed the execution of Servetus, who denied the Trinity. And these things have given, only the enemies of the church a basis to condemn the church. God's kingdom will not come by pulling out the darnels by force. People's efforts to eliminate them did not accelerate the coming of the kingdom. Rather, it hindered the coming of the kingdom. Okay, Jesus, so you do not want us to eliminate evil ourselves by force. Then do we just sit around and do nothing but wait? Don't we have to do something to fight evil in this world? And Jesus says, yes, there is something you can do to fight evil. And what's that? It's to produce the crop, is to bear the fruit. And that is why we were chosen. And it is our crop that will break the cycle of evil in this world. Here's what I mean. the fruit of the crop, or the fruit or the crop that we are to produce, that God wants from us, has to do with the great commandment, love God and love neighbors, and the great commission, make disciples of Christ. The Sermon on the Mount shows what fruit of love looks like in daily life. He says, "I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." So God's love is all about paying evil with good. It's easy to love those who love us. It's easy to pay good with good. But how about when we are paid evil? When we are paid evil, we want to pay back with more evil. If we are punched once, we want to get back with 2 punches. But God's love is paying evil with good. It's not just loving people who love us, but loving our enemies. If people persecute us, we pay back by praying on their behalf. If people curse us, we pay back by blessing them. If people wrong us, we pay back by forgiving them. God's love is not returning evil with evil, but returning evil with good. And that is the only way to stop the spread of evil. That is the way to stop the escalation of evil. That's the way to end the continuing cycle of evil in our world. That is the way to end family feud, to end tribal feud. If we do produce the crop, our crop will break the cycle of evil, and it will accelerate the coming of God's kingdom. So our mission is not, as George Bush said, to eliminate evil in the world. Our mission is rather to be faithful in producing the fruit for God. Jesus' answer to wait for God's judgment may seem like a cop-out. It may seem like God is uncaring and inactive, but God is delaying his judgment out of his compassion so that more people can be saved. God is not inactive. When we look at the life of Jesus, we see that God did something about evil. Jesus was deeply compassionate, and he fought against evil to his death. And God acted decisively in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. At his resurrection, Jesus broke the power of death, sin, and the devil. So today, when we long to see God act against evil, we must remind ourselves that God had already done so, and that we are waiting for the full outworking of Jesus' victory. Satan has been dealt a fatal blow, but the final overthrow is yet to come. But we do not wait in anxiety, not knowing how things will turn out. We wait with certainty and confidence of our King's return in power. We wait not like the people in darkness, but like people who have seen the sunrise and knows that a full, bright day is coming at noon. Let's pray.